My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Israel weighs a response to the first direct attack by Iran while the White House tries to stem a wider regional war.
A brand new Pandora's box has been opened here in the region, and that's direct conflict between Israel and Iran. This conflict has the potential to escalate very quickly.
Plus, Donald Trump becomes the first former president to stand criminal trial today, and Samsung tops Apple to become the world's number one smartphone supplier. It's Monday, April 15th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin today in Israel after the country this weekend repelled the first ever direct attack against it launched from Iranian territory. The strike was huge by any standard, involving, according to Israeli estimates, more than 170 explosive-laden drones, around 120 ballistic missiles, and about 30 cruise missiles, almost all of which were intercepted. But any celebrations surrounding the success of Israel's air defense or of warplanes from the U.S., Britain, and Jordan that helped to avert catastrophic damage from the Iranian attack were short-lived, and at least in Washington, have been replaced with an awareness that a broader regional war that President Biden sought to avoid since the start of the conflict in Gaza is now very much underway. So what happens next? Journal correspondent Dov Lieber is in Tel Aviv this morning. Dov, what is the situation like there today? This Iranian attack is believed to be over, right? With attention now shifting to if and when Israel might respond.
Right. I would say the mood is very, very mixed. Because on the one hand, there's a very successful defensive against this Iranian offensive. As far as we know, there was minor damage to an Israeli military airbase in southern Israel. And unfortunately, a seven-year-old child was also severely injured by the attack. But otherwise, given the scale of the Iranian offensive, this was a very successful Israeli defensive. But one of the reasons for the, let's say, cheer in Israel is that it wasn't just an Israeli defensive. This U.S.-led alliance that included the French, the British, Jordanians, the Saudis, the Emiratis as well, played a big role in the success of this defensive. And Israel has been feeling particularly isolated over the war in Gaza. And this showed Israel not only that they could defend themselves against a large attack, but that they weren't alone again. At the same time, a brand new Pandora's box has been opened here in the region, and that's direct conflict between Israel and Iran. This conflict has the potential to escalate very quickly. And so this is why the mood is quite mixed.
Do we know which way Israel is leaning in terms of a response?
Yeah, we don't really know. Israel has a very, very complicated question before them. It will want to respond, but it has to balance two things. One, its desire to prevent Iran from creating this precedent that Iran can directly attack it from its own territory, and not only just attack, a very large-scale attack. If Israel doesn't respond, it essentially creates this precedent. The other thing Israel wants to balance is keeping this very, very tenuous alliance intact. Now that Israel knows Iran is willing to directly attack it, and now it knows how effective this kind of cooperation can be in the region, and it knows that it needs this kind of regional cooperation, it needs the backing of the United States, it will also need to balance what kind of attack on Iran, how that may actually harm that alliance going forward that it really desires. And a very, let's say, robust strike directly on Iran definitely would endanger any future for this kind of alliance.
I mean, as the orchestrator of Saturday's allied defense, how is Washington weighing in on this?
So Washington was very happy to help defend Israel. This looks very good for President Biden. I mean, this is a winning issue for him. If the war in Gaza complicated his political future, you know, there are those in his voting base that are still very anxious about his support for Israel, whether it's versus Iran or in Gaza. But at the same time, defending Israel against a major large-scale attack by Iran has pretty broad support. Most Americans don't want to get dragged into this conflict with Iran. And the United States is saying, you know, on background, they're not saying it officially, but they're definitely saying that they don't want to be a part of any attack on Iran, A, and B, they're looking for a diplomatic way to solve this problem right now and to de-escalate tensions in the region. That's the most important thing for the Biden administration. De-escalate between Israel and Iran, de-escalate between Israel and Hamas in Gaza, and try to get to a point where they don't have to worry about a potentially regional war breaking out, especially right before elections later this year.
I have been speaking to Wall Street Journal correspondent Dove Lieber in Tel Aviv. Dove, thank you so much for the update.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, former President Donald Trump's hush money trial begins in New York, and we'll unpack why economists expect the U.S. economy to continue gaining strength. Those stories and much more after the break.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Donald Trump will today become the first former president to sit for a criminal trial when he returns to a Manhattan courtroom to defend himself against accusations that he directed an illegal scheme to pay off a porn star. Trump hit out at the trial over the weekend in front of supporters in Pennsylvania, his final rally before facing charges later today.
On Monday in New York City, I will be forced to sit fully gagged. I'm not allowed to talk. Can you believe it? They want to take away my constitutional right to talk.
The case brought by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg is about documents and whether Trump falsified business and financial records to cover up payments to adult film star Stormy Daniels. While it has the lowest stakes of the four prosecutions he faces, it may be the only one of Trump's criminal cases to wrap up before Election Day. The political fallout of a conviction for the presumptive Republican nominee could be severe, with polls showing some Trump supporters would change their votes if he were convicted of a felony. Homicides in American cities are plummeting, dropping by more than 20% in over 130 cities through the first 3 months of the year compared to last year. That is, according to crime data analyst Jeff Asher, who pulled statistics from police departments across the country. The drop in murders continues a trend which began last year following a spike in killings during the pandemic. Boston, Columbus, and San Antonio saw the largest drops in homicides to start the year, with each down by more than 50%. The outlook for the U.S. economy hasn't been this strong since April 2022. That is according to the latest Wall Street Journal quarterly survey of economists, which finds that concerns about a recession within the next year have fallen a full 10 percentage points just since January. Deputy Finance Editor for Europe, Quinton Webb, said growth forecasts are also trending higher, reflective of a sense among economists that the U.S. can handle higher interest rates.
So this survey really reflects this kind of big shift in sentiment in the last year and a half, if you like. Before, there was a lot of concern that the US would be derailed by high interest rates. And at some points, it was seen as a kind of majority opinion that a recession was on the way. Now, only 29% of respondents think so. And they have also been steadily upgrading their growth forecast too. So we may be set for this period of sort of strong growth, solid productivity. And then the wrinkle here is that there are these questions increasingly about whether the Fed is going to find it easy to bring inflation back to its 2% target. Now, if growth is strong and the economy can withstand these high rates, perhaps slightly sticky inflation isn't too much of a problem.
Samsung has overtaken Apple as the world's top smartphone provider. That is according to preliminary data from research firm International Data Corporation, which said that Apple shipped 50.1 million smartphones in the first quarter compared to Samsung's 60.1 million units. It marks a key turning point for the South Korean firm, which has trailed Apple in the top spot since late last year and struggled to regain momentum in both its hardware and chip business. Recent months have revealed a pickup in both businesses, however, and just this morning, the U.S. government is also granting Samsung up to $6.4 billion under the 2022 CHIPS Act in order to build chip-making facilities in Texas aimed at reviving semiconductor manufacturing in the United States. And it's tax day in the U.S., an occasion that's being marked this year with additional anxiety beyond that of individual filers scrambling to finish their paperwork. That's because with a tax bill stalled in the Senate, hopes are fading of reviving expired business tax breaks on R&D investments. It's an outlook that Journal corporate finance reporter Jennifer Williams said is leading a number of large U.S. companies to warn that they might have to pull back on research spending, along with new projects or the hiring of additional workers.
So I spoke with the CFO of Hyster-Yale Materials Handling. That's a manufacturer of lift trucks, attachments, and hydrogen fuel cell engines. They spend around $100 million on R&D. That's a company that brought in $4.1 billion in revenue in its last fiscal year. And this tax bill has increased that tax liability for them by about $25 million a year. Like Hyster-Yale, other companies are also considering for future R&D whether it makes sense to do that outside of the U.S. where the incentives can be more favorable. And that's according to a former GOP leadership aide who's now a co-leader of the national tax practice at PwC.
And if all this tax talk has you itching to get away and craving a summer break, you might want to do some extra digging before committing on a destination as more and more hotspots put new restrictions on tourism. And given that, we want to know what questions you have about the future of travel in a globalized world. Send us a note, or even better, record a voice memo on your phone and send that to us at wnpod@wsj.com. That's wnpod@wsj.com, or leave a voicemail at 212-416-4328. Either way, just be sure to include your name and your location, because we might use it on the show. And that is What's News for Monday morning. Today's show was produced by Daniel Bach and Kate Bullivant. Our supervising producer is Sandra Kilhoff, and I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. And until then, thanks for listening.